Why did we go down this tangent?
You definitely put me on the spot.
Welcome to Why Cold ID, the youth cultural identity program by young women discussing current issues and gender disparity in the sound production industry.
It's a long way to the shop if you want a sausage roll.
Oh! Yeah. Brought to you by the Department of Communities and Justice, River FM, and The Art House.
Can't stop. Don't want to either.
Hello, welcome back to River FM. This is Janelle and I'm here with Tilly. Hi, Tilly.
Hi, Janelle.
And today we are doing the podcast project that is brought to you by the Department of Communities and Justice, River FM and The Art House. We call this project Why Cult ID, that stands for Youth Cultural Identity, and we're going to be having discussions around all things that affect women and girls in between the ages of 14 and 24 and around concepts that are both artistic, sociological, and, well, basically anything you want, Tilly, but what did you want to talk about today?
So I think we're talking about podcasts and also talking about social media.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a two-way conversation. So we'll start the first one off with podcasts because this radio show is going to be made into a podcast, and then we're going to move on to videocast, which strangely enough is still called podcast.
Yeah.
I've always found that non-distinction annoying.
Because it's just you're listening to a podcast but you can see them talk.
So that's why I would go back in the day call it videocast, but that's not even a term that's used much, is it?
It is a little bit.
Yeah. But say, for instance, if you're just watching a radio show on YouTube where you can see the radio people, that's called a podcast.
Yeah. Just a podcast.
It's interesting, isn't it? But you were going to tell me a little bit about a podcast that you've been listening to that you like.
Yes. So I have been listening to podcasts. The podcast, my favourite podcast is What We Said, which is an American podcast, but it's got two girls in their early 20s and they sort of talk about like mental health kind of, and they have a lot of story episodes as well where they just... So they have like a mixture of health and well-being and as well as like entertainment sort of more based.
Yeah, fabulous. I think we could probably look into doing more of that creative stuff in the future too. I'd love, for instance, for you to do a story and then be able to read that out, whether it's a fiction or semi-fiction or something like that. Would you be up for doing something like that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and in the past we've had poetry, all the things that translate well to radio. And then down the track, those stories could even be manifested into some sort of little play or interactive thing with the video aspect as well.
Yeah.
So we're lucky here with Why Cult ID because the members, this is an organic growing concept. So the way the grant was set out was that they do want the participants to be very much involved in the creation of the project as it goes.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that you're thinking about that. Yes. And what other podcast did it, was it you or someone else that was into true crime?
Oh, we talked about that, but I have listened to it, but not all the time. Like that was just for a little bit.
Yeah, because just before COVID hit, I think it was around then, I was doing a podcast unit up at SCU here.
Yeah.
And some of the research that they wanted us to do was believe it or not, one of the most successful podcasts ever when they first started to come out, and what created that whole podcasting scene was a true crime about, the murder of a teenage girl in America. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it'd be going back probably over a decade. But, isn't it interesting about the human psyche that they really get into that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's interesting, those stories. So
Yeah. And, I forgot to do the weather. If you guys can hold out for me, we'll continue talking about these concepts. I'll do the weather and actually we might come back to it, shall we? Tilly. All right, so Tilly has created a fabulous playlist here off the concept of going with Australian female singer-songwriters, performers, and she's called it Aussie Queens. I like the title.
Yeah.
We'll start with the first song off that track. Do you remember which one it is? Quicksand.
Yes.
Quicksand by Hatchie, and we'll come back to you with more conversations about podcasts and about all things social media as well. This is Why Cult ID. You're with Janelle and Tilly. Hi, welcome back to Why Cult ID. You're with Janelle and Tilly. So welcome back. Tilly and I have been talking about podcasts. We're going to return to that conversation. And then maybe later in the second hour, we will come back to all things social media. So whilst we're off air there, I mentioned to Tilly that one of my favourite podcasts is A Podcast of One's Own with Julia Gillard. So if you haven't been following her career, she left Australian politics. She was the first Australian female Prime Minister when Tilly was 5, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah. And she went over to the UK and continued on with very political advocate in the corporate sector for women's rights, and she's just become she's just been in the media again for 10 years after the fact for the famous speech, Not Now, Not Ever, and that's what she has called her book, which is smartly 10 years after the fact released. So if you were interested in women's issues and you want to check it out, it's called A Podcast of One's Own with Julia Gillard, and it's the Global Institute for Women's Leadership podcast. And it features Julia in conversations with prominent female leaders or experts on gender equality and leadership. And I think that's what's really important about women being able to have those voices, because nothing gets changed unless we push it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately in Australia, things have been going backwards in regards to gender equality in some aspects, not in others. But one of them that still hasn't increased very well is equality of the pay gap. And as you know, the whole reason I got funded for this one was because of the gender disparity in the sound production industry. So that's why you're here, Tilly.
That's why I'm here.
And so what excites you about wanting to do podcasts, or is this just a step to a future in sound production that may separate from that?
Well, I've just always kind of been interested in like all the arts and podcasting, as I've talked about my favourite podcast and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's kind of just been sort of exciting to think about having like talking on air and just having conversations that are meaningful.
Yeah. You know. And not only just the meaningful, but do you feel like you want to be able to inspire or at least create awareness for other young women for some of the issues that might be going on for your generation at this time?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Cool. And so we did touch upon some of those issues before. We decided to talk around social media in regards to that. We might as well start that now, yeah?
Sure thing.
Because we're creating a podcast about that. So we have a few different topics that we've been discussing with the other participants, and we're going to continue on with one of those topics now, social media, and we're going to try not to go too much into the screen addiction realm because we spoke about that with Ivy, but you wanted to talk about some other aspects around social media. So what was one of the ones that came to mind the most? For instance, I was going into some of the more negative ones like bullying and how these platforms can be used for bullying, but you wanted to be a little bit more positive in the beginning, which was finding...
Yeah, so you can find like community. A lot of people have found community with, you know, you meet a lot more people on social media like than just who you see in real life, where you have the whole world everywhere, everyone is different, and it's all seen on social media, so you can connect to people.
So who have similar likes, and that can be validating, and it's really nice to be validated in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also when you have people who have those similar likes, you kind of got less conflict, but you also have more in common, so it can generally be a positive experience.
Yeah.
So what are some of the ways that people are finding these similar associates, if you will, because you've got blogs and chat rooms and stuff like that, but I think they're quite old now. So, for instance, I could have been into drawing, right? And there might have been or cooking, for instance, there might have been a blog or something about that. And that's how I could find like-minded people. Is it that organic or more organic even on social media?
I think it's easier to find people who are like you because it's like with the algorithms that have been created on there, people can find people who are like them and find their interests so easily.
So I guess my question, I'll be more succinct, is how directly do you find that person? Say, for instance, if you just put up a post, somebody likes it, you're going to go and approach that person and say, I liked that you liked that, or why did you like that? What's going to happen?
Well, I think it usually stays on social media with, that goes into one of the negative things, mm-hmm. is it's hard to communicate once you're so used to talking online.
Oh, it's hard to communicate in real life.
Yes.
Yeah.
We get like sucked into only talking because it's less intimidating, I guess.
Would you say it's more vacuous too, or superficial, the conversation? Because, you know, when your generation is more interested in texting than having a phone call, yeah?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. And so therefore those texts can be quite superficial, LOL.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and is the same for social media?
Well, yeah, because you don't know what people are actually thinking. You can't see their expressions,
yep.
and you can't hear a tone. Mm-hmm. So conversations that you have on social media can be taken so like differently than you have intended them to.
Well, that's a whole nother question then too about texting, which is the same thing basically. And the amount of time, if I had a dollar for the amount of times I've texted something, it was misconstrued because of the idiosyncrasies that in language and the way we say things might not translate through into text, and that can be fraught with danger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good conversation. But we did kind of steer away from the initial place I was going there with you about making friends online. Yeah. Are those friendships stronger than your real life friendships, do you think? Well, or
it can depend, because it's you're not seeing them in real life. You're not mm-hmm. connecting with them on that level,
mm-hmm.
but you do see, you can feel like you're belonging with these people
mm-hmm.
in a different way.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just trying to fully, because I've got people who are friends on Facebook or what, for instance, who I've met overseas when I was travelling, but I don't think I have one Facebook friend who I've never met who I chat with. That's a concept that's a little bit beyond me. It's not something I think I'd generate towards. So I'm just intrigued as to how to make friends with people online who you haven't met. I think it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Ivy was really excited about it too, because she made a very interesting point, and I'll just throw this one out to you, that one day it might be a situation where relationships aren't even considered that much in the physical realm, that people could even get online married without even meeting each other, or, you know, it might not have to be about that traditional connection because everything's changing so much. And that blew my mind.
Like,
we're getting into not quite as bad as, say, marrying an AI,
yeah.
but we are getting into some very difficult and interesting territory that I had never even thought about before. Mm. Have you thought about it?
No, I haven't thought about that one before.
I know. I was quite excited because it sounds arrogant, but it's very rare that there's a concept that hasn't popped into my mind before in regards to stuff like this.
Yeah.
So it was just brave new world stuff. I was like, wow, okay, that's going to be very interesting, like people falling in love with holograms. That's been done on movies and such.
Yeah.
But, real people on the other – I suppose it happens, doesn't it, with dating sites?
Well, yeah, because there's, online dating now, which is interesting.
Yeah, and what about catfishing?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Like, you have to be careful with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that might be a little bit beyond your purview, but it's still – it's kind of like a form of online bullying, right?
Yeah, it is, because you can, like, open up to your – up to someone and then realise that they're not who they are, and it's...
Mm. Yeah, and so there's that vulnerability around being you know, young, naive and really positive and wanting the world to be a beautiful place. But I remember when I was your age, there were quite a few, we call them little mini deaths. In France, they're called mini deaths. But they're those moments in life where you hear something that somebody's done something that you could never have even imagined a human being possible of doing, you know, and you just become more and more aware of how the world's not this beautiful little bubble that you were taught that it was to be, the Disney princess bubble, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you watch the news, bubble bursts, something like that. And so I think that that can be happening online for a lot of people too, but in a much more connected way, because it's one thing for me to have been 15 and watched the news, but I hazard to think how it would be for a 15-year-old to have that interaction with somebody and then find out that that person's evil for whatever reason, whether it's like a dirty, lurky old man instead of, you know, you thought it was a young man or a young woman, you know, or some of the even worse ones we talked about, that naivety can put young girls in tricky situations with even boyfriends that they have met in real life. What did we discuss around that one?
Like sending pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can, it's dangerous because you can like lose control of that, and then you're just like, social media is not something you can just erase.
Yeah, and it's out there already.
It's not like sending a Polaroid to your boyfriend.
Well, they could just take a photo of it now, couldn't they? But, yeah, like back in the day, well, it wasn't really a thing then anyway.
No, I wouldn't think so. Well,
certainly not in my social groups. But actually, I do remember one situation of that happening to a girlfriend of mine without her consent. And yeah, it was just paper photographs.
Yeah.
But it was very rare. And now it's almost like, it became so popular at one stage that it became normalised.
Yeah.
And now we are forced to have those conversations for, and especially for awareness for young girls, which is what we're doing right now, so that they don't fall into those pitfalls so easily. For instance, what would happen if you sent one to a boyfriend or a girlfriend for that matter and then you broke up?
Yeah, well, now you can't just take it back. It's going to be there if they have it, or they could use it as revenge against you and or blackmail you to doing things.
And so that's starting to happen, isn't it? There's a term for it, revenge porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not fair, is it?
No.
And then also there's the terrible situation sometimes, more often with young boys, I think, than young girls, but they start thinking it's funny and sharing it around their mates.
Mm.
And that's not what the initial image was intended for. So, yeah, I think there's some very important points to point. And your age group, would you want to tell the listeners how old you are, Tilly?
So I'm 15.
15. And that's unfortunately around the age that these conversations need to be had, because you don't want to go into that realm of social media with that naivety, hey?
Yeah.
Or your other girlfriends.
No, I wouldn't want that for them either. Yeah.
Now, you know what? I just said something and I realised I was being quite sexist. I said your other girlfriends. What about your male friends?
Yeah.
It's got to be happening to them too, surely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And also, even if we're talking about when you send them personally, but when they're sent to you and you don't want that either.
Right, yes, that's a whole nother very important.
That's a different, yeah.
And do you feel that that's not only offensive, it's a little bit of a provocation, would you say? Like if, sort of intimidation even.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's could be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it's not warranted, like you didn't ask for it, as you said.
Yeah, it's unsolicited.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's terrible, terrible days for you guys. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm going to burst your bubble a little bit more. I was talking about that television Todd Sampson's got, the show he's got on at the moment, Mirror, Mirror, about these concepts. And, you know, with deepfakes, Have you heard of deepfakes?
No, I haven't.
So deepfakes are where they've not just been able to Photoshop your face onto somebody else's body, but they've 3D imaged it now so that you can – you probably heard about it happening for politicians and stuff, because it's really scary to think that somebody could pretend to be, you know, the Prime Minister or the President and put it out on media and that person didn't even say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really big and scary, but apparently it's happening in the intimidation world, where there was one lady who's not in at all identifies with a sex worker or any of that sort of stuff, and for some reason she got targeted and they put her face on women's bodies. So even though she hasn't given an image, it's her facial image has been stolen from her for that sort of – it's just not fair.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things around that is that the technology is advancing so fast that the law can't catch up.
Yeah.
Bureaucracy takes a long time.
Have you heard of now that they can take people's faces and put them in movies? Yeah. So that was in like the new Star Wars, where they took the older actor's younger face, and they're starting to not need like their consent for that. Yeah, I watched a video about it.
Yeah, well, that's a big one, because a lot of the stuff we talk about in regards to, well, not only young women's issues and consent, but copyright and art copyright. And so there's a lot of things around consent there. We were just having a conversation about how this is all going to work in regards to copyright.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are out there who don't know, Tilly's a trainee, so one of the things we do here is we write down each song that we play for you, and then we tick Australian, new release or local, and depending on how many ticks they get 20 cents per song. And that's much better than Spotify, for instance. Did you know?
No.
Spotify gives 0.006 cents.
Oh, wow.
Per play, yeah. So it's only the really famous that get rich off Spotify, not your average performer. Let's
go! Say hello to my new friend! Tune in to the Art House
with Jovian
and Janelle. We do
everything, movies, books, art, you know.
Thursdays 4 to 6.
On River FM.
60% of the time, it works every time.
92.9.
Wherever you have an internet connection, be it dial-up, broadband, or on your smartphone, River FM is now streaming. Go to 2ncr.org.au and look for the Listen Live link. Your local community station, now global.
Hi, that's right. You're listening to River FM 92.9. I'm Janelle, and this is Why Cult ID, Youth Cultural Identity, a new project brought to you by the Department of Communities and Justice, River FM, and The Art House. Right now, we're going to go back to some more songs for you, but come back with Tilly and we're going to have more conversations about social media, podcasting, and possibly the future direction of what women can do with sound production. Fantastic. That's great. And you chose all those songs yourself.
Yeah.
And is there a specific reason you chose any of those songs, or these are just songs that you like?
Well, I was just looking up like new Aussie women upcoming artists.
Yep.
And then I was just listening through a few of them and I really liked a lot of them. So
they're very good. But the last couple, you put in a few men as well. Do you know did you do any back to see if there's women in the band or women involved in production, or just because you liked them?
Yeah, so I did have one song that was featuring a male, and then I had... But it was by women.
Oh, wicked. What song was that one?
So that was Tuesday by KYE featuring Jerome Ferrer.
Yeah, wicked. And I'm so glad that you've gone to that trouble to look to see who's done the production or who's playing what or singing what, because as part of our job here at radio, but also doing sound production itself, that's the next level that you go to start learning how the industry works, who's involved in the industry, and Also, you can start to see the gender disparity too. Are there more women doing the sound production in certain types of genres? Or I think with the 97% disparity, it's probably unlikely. But we're starting to see a few of the up-and-coming women and young girls doing their own sound production at home because of COVID, right? We were talking about COVID before, so maybe we could use that as a good segue into our next topic. Because what happened for your generation during COVID was that you got much more used to socialising online.
Yeah.
You're probably a lot more tech savvy than any generation that's come before you. You're able to use apps like that and roll with the punches too, because they are changing quickly, right?
Yeah, they are.
And therefore, a lot of the women who would say were a singer-songwriter, they can sit in their own homes, have basically a microwave and a microwave, a microphone and a laptop, and off you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're teaching themselves how to use, whether it's GarageBand or Audacity or Audition or any of these programs that you're about to be upskilled very quickly on. Yeah, so that's great for the sound production industry, because then when those women go into the proper sound production studios, your tens of thousands of dollars per mix kind of places, then they can not only start to see that these places are dominated by men, but also have those discussions with those men about the tech that they do understand and how do they get into those jobs, because they're high-paying jobs. At the moment it's really tricky because there's two things going on. You've got men who don't want to give up their coveted positions, obviously, because of the money, and two, you've got women often don't do what they perceive they can't because they don't see other women doing it.
Yeah.
So you, for instance, are going to be a pioneer in this industry if you keep it up. You did mention you're interested into going into film for sound for film, which is not as huge gender disparity, but there still is one. I don't know the stats around that. But yes, let's go back into what we talked about with COVID, with socialisation and getting women and young girls back out into society. That's right. The difference between living in the city, living on the coast, and, say, living in Lismore, and the socioeconomic reality around that for young people in Lismore, where did we go with that?
So it's like, you know, it's harder because we're not out there like the cities. With all this, you know,
opportunities.
These opportunities, which is, it's great that I get to be here in Lismore doing this show and get a voice out here.
Thank you. And but you were saying that you're lucky because in Lennox you've got your theatre group, which is extra. What is it? Extracurricular. And you've also got the beach.
Yeah.
Whereas marginalised youth in Lismore from a lower socioeconomic background, and at the moment, sorry boys, I'm only talking about women and young girls, they don't have a lot of extracurricular activities because we're still in recovery. But also if you're in a lower socioeconomic bracket, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
Like a dance class or a theatre class or something like that. So I'm going to use that as a segue to say that we have a couple of positions left for anybody who identifies as female between the age of 14 and 24. And if they want to contact me, us here at Y-Cult ID, they can do so through my email, theartshouse@2ncr.org.au, and or Google it and just ring in the station or look us up at The Art House on Facebook and Insta. But the Insta one has 33.3 in it. Anyway, I'm going on a learning curve too. Thank you, Tilly. With some of these apps and stuff. So I know. How about we create a Y-Cult ID on Insta? Shall we do that?
Yeah.
So you can help me with some of the tech stuff and I'll help you with the tech stuff. All right. Now what else? Oh, that's right. You had something to say about why podcasts are so important, the benefits for community and expression, and specifically why expression is so important to marginalised communities.
Yeah, because you get a voice, and back with the connections, you can reach people who are like you. And if someone, like young girls listening to this, can feel like, you know, can listen and hear people like them and be inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. You're doing exactly what I had hoped you would be doing. That's great. And if anybody else wants to feel like their voice is heard, because it's not only about awareness and some of the topics that we want women and young girls to start discussing and having real agency within their own life, whether or not that's their bodies or that's their careers. We have to recognise that we are not subject to, well, look, everybody's subject to economies and to narratives. And prior to your generation, my generation grew up in the narrative that was strictly white male, okay, and it was very rare to be able to have conversations outside those narratives. Especially we had mainstream media, the socials, I guess you'd say, have changed all of that.
Yeah.
It's everybody's voices now. But also in the arts, we very much struggled to represent the underrepresented. So funding bodies started to fund not just First Nations people, immigrants, just people who feel marginalised regionally and or gender-wise, and that includes the marginalisation of the LGBTQI community. So that concept of otherness is no longer a dirty word. It's something like we want to hear these narratives. And so I can't wait to hear your narrative, possibly even in a couple of weeks when you can come back and tell a story that's really specific about you and how it feels to be a young girl in this area, perhaps. Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, Tilly. We have to say goodbye, don't we, Tilly? Yeah. So thank you to our listeners who have come in and joined us for the last 2 hours for Why Cult ID, that's Youth Cultural Identity, and we've discussed some really important concepts around socialisation, the importance of socialisation and community and having a voice. And we here at Why Cult ID are still looking for women and young girls to come in, especially if they have been marginalised and feel a little bit, because whether it's because of regional or lower socioeconomic, they really need somewhere to socialise. And Tilly wants to talk about how she understands the nature of desocialisation over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so especially with post-climate disaster and COVID-19, it's been harder to socialise, and we have to recognise that it's really important to be doing that even when, you know, we're going through these things. And, you know, it's like tribal in our DNAs that we do this. It's part of who we are.
Because you mentioned loneliness, didn't you? And you can still be connected, as you said in the beginning, with these social groups online. But you might be online but still feel a little bit lonely.
Yeah, so it's important to be face-to-face, feeling like you're actually with someone, actually connecting in real life.
Mm.
It's more than just being through your devices.
Yeah, we don't quite understand 100% why it's so important to have, say, looking somebody in the eye or even being around somebody as whether they're a mentor or a friend or more or family or even just a stranger. But it is important to, for us, we are, like you said, tribal. And I think the loneliness epidemic is massive, and we really are trying to address that here and create awareness for all these issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for coming along.
It was awesome to be here.
Yeah. So I'll give you my email just one more time. If you are identifying as a woman or a young girl in between the ages of 14 and 24, do come in and contact us, because it's a really great opportunity. You only have to do one or two sessions over a six-month period and or more. But, so that email is thearthouse@2ncr.org.au. Thank you, Tilly, so much for a fabulous show.
Thank you, Janelle.
And thank you for coming in. I hope you really have experienced some of those things that we were talking about with desocialization or socialization in this context.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the importance of having a voice.
Yes.
Do you feel like you were heard today?
Yeah.
I feel like you were heard today. And I guess you'll see us out with the last of some of the tracks that you've created for us today. Nice. Okay. Thank you. This has been the art. Oh, this has been Wacolt ID.